We're so glad to be here today. I never quite know what to say on a Father's Day could help lighten the father's load a little bit, but you carry a weight of responsibility that's unlike any other. Being the one who's oftentimes the breadwinner of the house, sometimes having to see to all the family, make sure that they're fine. A lot of responsibility. And today we're going to read some scripture that's found over in the 7th chapter, if you want to turn there with us. The 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. And starting with the 7th verse. Then we're going to read some scripture that's found over in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son would ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even unto them. For this is the summation," and that's my interjection there, "for this is the summation of the law and of the prophets." So correctly read, this is the 7th through the 12th verses of the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. Now we want to take our text, if you will, from the 20th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, of course, being a compilation or a collection of all the sayings and all the wisdom that Solomon had. Solomon, when he became king, he didn't ask for great wealth or great dominion, places that he could rule, spread the empire of David. All he asked of God was, "Give me wisdom to know how to rule and how to guide your people." And that's the same that it is with natural fathers, biological fathers, and fathers, those that may not have children. We pray daily for wisdom. Because in a day and age in which we live, of all the things we need wisdom. We need understanding. We need the leadership of the Holy Spirit from God. This is from Solomon. The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. That would be our text. That would be our thought today. The integrity that it takes in order to be an example. Now, not just to fathers in the home, but this is kind of to all of us men today. Because you see, whether that we understand it or believe it or not, there are people that are looking at us, watching us, and many are looking to us for direction. Now, we can't tell people how to live their lives or how to conduct themselves in the world, but many times what it takes is our example. One of the things about integrity is the example that is there set forth for them to follow. Paul told Timothy over in one place, he said, let no man despise thy youth. I don't have to worry about that part of it. But no man despise either, and I'm going to take liberty with the word of God, let no man despise thy youth or thy age in any way. But he goes on and he says, but be an example to believers in word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity. Be an example unto them, because today they need an example. They need someone to reflect the law of Christ or the love of Christ, the light of Christ today. Not only to be an example, but also to set the example, to establish it. How do we do something like that? Well, once again, we find that the Bible tells us that we are to do all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and to follow His example. We read the poem about how that we need to walk a little bit slower for our children so that they can catch up with us, but walk a little bit slower so that we can set before them an example. I have no complaints about my father today. And I'll even add to this, I have no complaints about my father-in-law. Because from both of them, I learned much. My father never taught me or set me down or said anything about patriotism or about God. But he was an example. Whenever that he would go as an honor guard or whatever the case might be, I saw integrity in him. I saw how that he loved this country. I saw how that he put himself and others of you the same thing. Put yourselves in harm's way to give us the freedom of what we have today. And then I saw him live out his salvation. The Bible says over in one place, work out your salvation in fear and in trembling. Not necessarily that you're working out whether you're saved or not. That's decided at the foot of the cross. But to let the salvation that God has blessed you with, the peace, the regeneration, all of those things, let it work forth. Let your light, in other words, shine forth unto other men. I had an opportunity to visit with a friend of mine that was older than me, and he had worked where that my father was. And, you know, he made a comment to me, sent a text to me. He said, I hope you are doing well. And he said, I want to tell you something about your dad you didn't know. He said, your dad never said a harsh word, never said anything out of the way. And I know my dad, he had his issues, and usually I brought them on. But John said this, he said, you know what your dad gave me for graduation? He gave me a Bible. And you know, I've got it yet to this day. And when I look at it, I remember. Shirley's father would sit and tell me things that about life itself, about how God had brought him, you know, to the place where that he was at. He was with him at all times. Had a pretty rough life. He didn't have it easy. Had several brothers. And you can imagine the way that they learned to swim back then was they just threw him into a stream and they learned to dog paddle. But he had a hard life. He had a difficult life. But yet God was in his life. He was saved later in life. And I remember that he would always want to talk about things of God. And I remember, and I could even take you to the house where we were sitting. And this was before that I told my call to preach. He sensed something about me, something that was going on. And I remember that we sat there and we were just talking about this and that and the other. And all of a sudden, he turned and looked straight into my eyes. And he said, "Paul, are you called to preach?" And I said, "All right, nah, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna really make a good life for your daughter." He said, "I didn't ask you that. I asked you, are you called to preach?" Now, I'm ashamed to say today that I lied to him. But later on, I said, "Ray, you were right." And I just didn't want to admit it. He said, "I knew it. I just wanted you to know it. But I wasn't going to tell you." But that's the example today. That's how that we ought to live. We need to set the example. We need to live the example. And we need to be the example today. Integrity, what is it today? There's less and less of it. And I'm not being a judge, but I'm just going by what people tell me. But you know, integrity is to live as honestly and as openly and as morally upright under the direction of God's guidance as possible. That's what integrity is. It's like the old saying, what you are in the, hopefully what you are in the daylight, you are the same in the dark, where people can't see you, where the people can't witness what you're doing. But the Bible commends uprightness. I know sometimes from the pulpit, we preach such things as, well, you can't work your way to heaven. You can't work salvation. You can't do enough good works. But I'll tell you, after salvation, there are good works to do. There are examples to set. And I keep repeating this, but in this day and age in which that we live, we need those examples. We need them desperately. We need out in the marketplace somebody to reflect what Christ is today and what Christ taught and how that he loved mankind. Had a conversation with a friend of mine, and I really admire him, and I really look to him. But he said, "Paul, you got to get out of the pulpit, and you got to go into the marketplace." And I said, "Kent, what do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, what did Jesus do?" He said, "Remember anything you do, what did Jesus do?" And he said, "Did he go out and get people and invite them to come into the synagogue and everything?" Yeah, he did that. And I'm not downplaying that. But for the most part, he went where humanity was at. And there never was a time whenever that he compromised what he was, the Son of God. He never compromised that one bit. He never stepped over the line, so to speak, in order to win men, women, boys, and girls, to bring them to salvation. He never did anything that was out of the way. And I think that's what I want to do. And I want to encourage you, whether father, whether a man, you know, whatever the case might be, do the same thing. Be a light. Be a witness. Go out into the world. Now, along with this guidance, we need to pray. We need to ask God's help. I believe today we've got to pray more than ever before. I think in this day and age, and I keep saying in this day and age, in this culture that we're in, we need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that you don't, but I kind of speak rhetorically because this is being recorded, and I hope that the message will get also to those that are out there, that are discouraged, that are let down. They're wondering, what's the use? I'll fold my Bible up, I'll just go home, and I'll just forget about it all. But don't give up. If you ever have any disappointment, any discouragement over what is taking place in our world today, You call me up, send me a text. Not that we're going to cry about it together, but I want you to know that iron sharpens iron, and we can help one another. And I want to tell you that he that is in you, that is Christ Jesus, the hope of eternal glory, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. That is the prince of the power of this air. Do you believe that today? I certainly do. Because I want you to know today, my friend, that there's no one else that we have we can turn to. We can't turn to our own devices. One occasion, Jesus taught this, and I'm deviating a little bit, but he taught this. He said, except you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you can have no part of me. And everybody departed from him, except for his disciples, because it was a hard saying. And you know, it is a hard thing we face, a hard saying that we are in the last days. But who are we going to go to? Who do we rely upon? In sickness and in health. I watched a wedding ceremony yesterday. I was really touched by it. And then it says in sickness and in health. And I thought, you know, that's how I feel about Jesus. In sickness and in health, I know he's going to be there with me. And I know no matter how I gripe, and he gives my wife grace to be able to withstand it. But no matter how I gripe, I moan, I sit in my chair, and I figure out the problems of the world for the president, for the leaders of the world. And they don't listen to me anyway. But no matter what it is today that's going on, we stand and we are guided and we are led by God. Because, my friend, there's no other example that the world looks to except unto us that are children of God that are in Christ Jesus. You can help a child. You can help an individual establish a sure foundation. Do you know that the Bible tells us in one parable that those that build their house upon the sand, great will be the destruction of that house? They need a spiritual contractor who can teach them to build their spiritual house upon a rock. And that foundation, that rock, is Christ Jesus today. How do we do it? By reflecting Christ, by reflecting the Lord to a lost and dying world. No, you don't have to take up a Bible and go out and hit somebody in the head with it and say, you need Jesus. I think down deep inside, many of them know that already. But my friend, you can be that example as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Oh, a preacher, we're Baptists. We're not disciples of Christ. No, I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about a spiritual disciple of Christ. A follower of Jesus. A follower, my friend, that reflects Christ into a lost and dying world. You have it in you. You have him dwelling in your heart and in your soul. My friend, what has he ever done where that he's let you down, where that he's forsaken you, where that he has abandoned you, even in the worst? No, nobody can bring an accusation against him today, but I want you to realize today that he's looking to you and I. And really, reality, maybe God doesn't need us when you think about it, but he wants to use each and every one of us. Men, he wants to use you. Have integrity. Be upright. And I realize the world throws all kinds of temptations and things in front of you. My friend, it pulls on one side or the other. But my friend, it's no different than it was in the days of the Apostle Paul, or in the days of Elijah, or in the days, my friend, of Noah. It's no different. Men, my friend, will turn to everything and indulge in everything. But my friend, you stay steadfast. You stay and set that example. You point to them, that foundation that they need to be established on. Because I guarantee you, when this world's on fire, the only thing that's going to stand the test is going to be Jesus Christ and those that are His today. Amen. I want you to realize today and to know that He is the foundation upon which that we build our house, and we want others to build their house. We want for them to have the same thing that we have today. And whether it's children, and you know, today we honor fathers, but you know, I've got some spiritual fathers. They're not necessarily kin to me. Then you may not have a child, but you can be a spiritual father. Did you know that today? Paul didn't have any children. I'm going to raise some eyebrows with that one. We don't find it recorded in the Bible where that Paul had natural children. Now, that's not to downplay this day in any way. No, that's not my purpose, but I want you to know that fatherhood goes far more than just having children. Paul was a spiritual father. We find that the Bible tells us over in one place, it says, "For though that ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet not many fathers in Christ." He said, "I have begotten you through the gospel." In other words, they were to him like spiritual children. You've got some spiritual children, I'm sure. You've had an influence for the gospel's sake upon somebody finding their way to the foot of the cross. And Paul said this today, that I've begotten you through the gospel. He didn't mean like that he told them they were saved or anything like that, but no, because of his example, because of his steadfastness, because of his foundation that he laid before them, he, in a sense, kind of begotten children, and one in particular. He says, "Therefore, I beseech you, by the mercies of God," he went on to say, "be ye followers of me, as I am of Christ." Be ye followers of me. As a spiritual father, you're going to set the example before those that come behind you. And you might think today that there's nobody that's watching you or following you, but there is. And my friend, I want you to know, let's make our footprints very plain and very straightforward today, where that they can see the pathways, where that they can see the right way to go, where that they can see that you are led of God, and they want that very same thing also. How do we do that in a day and age in which that we live? Now, I'm going to sound like a broken record when I say this. Do you know today there are people in my hometown that when I go there, I've had a few of them that didn't know my father passed away. They thought I was him because I looked like him. My mother, whenever that she was dying, I sat by her bedside and she thought I was Dad. Kept calling me George. I don't know why they didn't go ahead and just call me George anyway. But you know, I resembled him. And you know, whenever that you hang out, to use the common vernacular, with God, whenever that you get into His Word, whenever that you pray, whenever that you give the day unto God, and you spend time with God, and you meditate and pray about these things, even that we preach about this morning, do you know that there's going to be a resemblance between you and the actions of Christ? I was really honored. And when I say this, it's going to sound like I'm bragging. I'm not. Because I'm like the Apostle Paul. I'm the chiefest of sinners that ever walked the face of the earth. But it's only through the grace and mercy of Almighty God that He saved me, that He redeemed me. And I count it a privilege, and I'm thankful that He counted me faithful, that He called me into this ministry. But my son sent a text to me, just kind of out of the clear blue. I was really moved whenever I saw it. In fact, I almost erased it. But it was from one of my sons, to be quite specific, my youngest son. And I've been praying over him and praying over him and praying over him years. But he said, "Dad, I want to tell you something. I'm going to close. I'm thankful for you as not only father, the spiritual father, in essence, is what he was saying." And he said, "Daddy, you're about the most Christ-like that I've ever known." And I thought, man, Lord, I'm not worthy of that. Why does he say that? Because I don't feel that I am. But there's something that I've done in my life that has reflected Christ to him. And I guess that's what the essence of this message is about. Be a man of integrity. Be a man of Christ today. The closer that you get to him, like I said about my father, the closer you get to him, the more you're going to look like him. That's true. I guess that was for my son. I tried to be close to God. Trying to be close to God. And he saw that. And you know, it's well worth it. Not that I'm kind of tongue-tied like Donald Duck. I'm not worthy of that. But I'm glad that there was enough of it that was reflected to him that he sees that there is a reality to all of this. And that's what we need to do in the world for their sake, so that they may come to know this Savior that we talk about, that we preach about, that we sing praises to. Oh, I tell you what, I thought I was going to lose a little while ago whenever that we sang that song. And all of a sudden, it was just like Paul sing the last verse of Amazing Grace. And I just had to go with what I felt. I don't know what else to do. That impressed my mind. But I felt like singing that to the glory of God, because the end result of it all is that when we get there, and we see people that we've influenced, boy, it'll be worth every bit of it today. So as we close our few remarks today, and I do say few, I am so thankful for you today. I want to see you prosper in the Lord. I want to see you influence and have a bearing upon somebody's life. You never know who is going to be watching and who's going to be looking. And whatsoever that you do, one of the scriptures I wanted to use, whatsoever that you go to do, do all to the glory of Almighty God through Christ Jesus our Lord.